I was thinking about that. We've done a couple of messages on joy, and I said, you know, we talk about joy is serious business. And we talked about if you knew what happened when you rejoice, you'd do it more often. And we talked about laughter is good medicine. And I was going to do one called Faith Laughs. Laughter in faith is indication, or it's a demonstration of your faith. Laughing is a demonstration of your faith. About when you have problems, you're not going to be. The last thing you need is sympathy when you're going through hard times. You need people who have faith in stuff. You know, when my brother called me that he had cancer, and nobody likes to hear the C word. It wasn't the choice. He didn't need my sympathy. He needed my faith. He needed me to be in faith, to believe God with him that he can come out of this situation. So laughing is indicative of your belief in God that you're going to go through and come through this situation. So when you study the Bible, you understand this. But if you've never studied the Bible, you don't understand these kind of things in church, because if you've never had faith, real Bible faith before. You come to church, you see people acting a certain way, then it's going to be confusing for you because you don't have the background. It's like going to university, starting off in fourth or fifth year university when you never had college training. So you're missing a whole pile of stuff, so you don't know what to do. So when I first came to church as a young person, I was 24 years old, got born again, watching Billy Graham crusades on television. I wasn't really watching Billy Graham crusades to look for that, but I was at home one day doing my homework. I was in my second year of college, and I got born again by hearing the message of Jesus Christ, that he is Savior of the world. And I received Jesus. I was 24 years old. Got born again, seriously born again. I didn't have any pressures on me. I was not in detox. I was not in a mental institution. I was not on the street. I was not in jail. I was at home in my apartment. I was doing good. I had a few years of sobriety under my belt. I was doing good. I had a couple of vehicles. I had a nice apartment, a great girlfriend, going to school, being successful. And yet I realized I needed more than what I had, because I thought when I was on the street, living in Salvation Army, going to the streets, living over there, I thought, you know, if I could just have that, I'd be happy. And a lot of you maybe are thinking that way tonight, like you think, you know, if I could just have this item, or if I was at this stage of my life, I'd be more happier. But the understanding is that you need to be happy where you're at right now, and just learn to as Joyce Meyer would say, enjoy the trip, enjoy the journey as you travel along in the wilderness. And so we need to learn how to be at peace wherever we are, and learn to adjust yourself, or attitude perhaps, more likely. And so I'm not sure why I'm saying that, but I think, you know, you can't laugh at situations in your life if you don't have the faith to laugh about. So that's why it's crucial to understand your Bible. It's crucial to understand what happens. And the Bible gives you a picture of your life. Isn't that wonderful? It gives you a picture of your life. It shows you the Israelites as a nation. And it gives you the Israelites as an individual, you as a person, what you would go through if you do the following steps. It takes faith and obedience to follow God. And when you look at what happened to their life, when you read the Bible, you look at what happened to their lives, and you follow the same directions, you'll find out you'll get the same reward or the same, result. I wanted to say consequence, but it's a result. So we need to follow the Bible and follow what it says. And if you follow A and B, this is going to happen, so on. So that's why I'm just trying to say this, because sometimes, you know, you teach something, people come walking in, they don't know where we've been. They don't know how many lessons you've had until they dropped in on you. You're at lesson 26, and they're starting on maybe the first one. So I try to teach at a level sometimes where I feel that people can grab something, they can learn something right away, and leave out, when they leave the campus here, the facility, they know that they got something when they left the church. Thank God for that. Amen. So, you know, as a pastor, realize that you have new people, you have brand new Christians, you have older Christians, maybe it's older Christians who've never been taught properly. You know, you have people who've been born again for a number of years, and they've never had the Word of God taught to them. They've been taught religion. They were not taught the Word of God. And so you need the Word of God to grow in the faith, in the things of faith. And so, you don't want to be left alone with your thoughts in the middle of 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't know what to do when things happen in your life. That's why the Bible says, in the darkest moment of your life, Acts 16:25 says at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises and began to give shouts unto the Lord. And the Bible says, suddenly the Lord came and shook the place. And that's indicative of what God will do when you begin to give God glory and praise, because you know what's going to happen next. You see, Paul just did that and think, you know, hey, we're in prison, we're locked up here, down in a dungeon. Our feet are and arms are tied to the wall with chains. This is a mighty fine time to sing a song. And let's just try this. No, Paul knew about King, what's his name, Jehoshaphat. And 2 Chronicles 20, I believe it is, 2 Chronicles 20. When 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat was encamped about with, or he was surrounded by three other nations, three other kings who were attacking him. Very once in a while you find that you might have, you know, somebody says things happen in threes. Things will encircle your life and come and attack you and take away your faith. And it's not a time to be fearful and give up. It's time to rise up and put your faith in God and start to give Him praise. Amen? And so Paul knew that story because he had the prophets. He followed the prophets. He followed the Old Testament. He knew about the kings. He knew about those things. So he had the Old Testament. He had the prophets. And so he knew how what happened when they begin to praise God. That's why in the prison cell, he was able to follow the same directions and begin to give God's praise, him and Silas there. Now, it wasn't a time when their backs were beaten, you know, and their arms, their wrists, and their feet were in stocks, and they were beaten and ridiculed and put in jail. It wasn't a time to praise God. When you're suffering, it's not a time to praise God, but they knew something. See, what I'm trying to say is that when you know your Bible, when you know about the Word of God, what happens when you follow certain patterns of the Scripture, that things will follow through and come, you know, in the same way that other people have done it. So when someone older in the Lord tells you something and you try to follow something, you know, and you've never trusted people before, and you have a lot of reason not to trust people because everyone in your life has really, you know, failed you. And so you don't have anybody to trust. And you know, sometimes I tell my wife, you know, sometimes people in this church, they've been around in the world, and probably I'm the first thing that they see as consistent in their whole life. They've been coming here for 5 years or 10 years. And they walk into the church and see Pastor Roma sitting there and his wife sitting there for all those years. We've been doing this for 30 years. And they see me coming here for 30 years. And they know what consistency is. No one paid me and gave me money to come into the ministry. My wife and I decided that God called us while I was at University of Manitoba. I was in between my sessions to go into my career, the career that I wanted to go to. I had applied to go into a PhD program down Southern Ontario. And then the Lord spoke to me on a Thursday night, spoke to me about going to the ministry. So we came into the ministry. Not because someone said, you know, hey, here are the benefits for this job. In fact, there was no paycheck when we came into the ministry. We had no paycheck. No one gave me any money. In fact, one Christmas, I think the first Christmas we started in ministry, we didn't have a cent. We didn't have any money for... In fact, Hannah was telling me, you know, many, many years she didn't have any. We didn't have money for them because we had to sacrifice some things of our lives in order to get somewhere. Everybody has to do it. You've all done it. Everybody sacrificed something here, somewhere along the line. And so we did it because when I thought about becoming a pastor, I knew that my life is going to affect other people. So my obedience and my submission to God and my dedication to God is not a result of her and I just are for our benefit. It was for everybody else. So when we stepped into the ministry, we knew that our lives would be like a open glass that people would see everything we in our lives. In fact, when I remember when we were driving a certain car, someone said, "You shouldn't be driving that kind of car. You should be driving this kind of car. You shouldn't be wearing this, you should be wearing that." And that's the kind of thing that if you're in leadership and people have all kinds of criticisms in your life, and if you don't want criticism, don't even go into the ministry. Don't be a leader. And so when we came in, we trusted God that God's going to take care of us. And He's done it. He's taken care of us. We're not millionaires yet. You know, I'm leaving. I still have faith for tomorrow and today. You know, so God is doing the work in us. He's working in our lives. And so I thank God for everything that's happened to me thus far. And He's bringing me on. And there's many, many times I just want to walk away from the ministry because it didn't look good. Well, I didn't come in because it looked good. I came in because there was a call in my life. It's not like, you know, I want to be a nurse. And if I want to change to be a lawyer, I'll go become a lawyer. I'll become a construction worker. It wasn't like that. It was God called me to the ministry. He didn't say, "I'm going to call you only for 5 years. After 5 years, we'll consider it." No, God called me. And I wondered when He called me, why He called me, because if I was God, I wouldn't have called me, because I knew myself. I knew what my life was like. I knew what my, you know, if you were going to call me about my outstanding lifestyle I had in the past, sure wouldn't be that. You know, I was a failure. And I was all those other things that you mama wouldn't want for your, for their daughter. I wouldn't want that. And when I started dating my wife, everybody, you know, according to me, like, you know, if you're a dad, you kind of scrutinize who's coming home with your daughter, you know. So my father-in-law was like, for a long time, he looked at me like this. But until one day he began to love me, and I began to love my father-in-law. I became so close to him after for many, many years. In fact, I talked to him almost every, talked about him every day. I miss him because he became like a father figure to me. And so God redeems lives. How many people here tonight would say, you know, there's times I wanted to quit in life. I wanted to quit what I was doing. You know, so you want to move ahead, but sometimes you have to move on ahead, no matter what happens in life. Let you turn your Bibles with me, please. To let's give you a couple of scriptures in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. I want to talk to you about learning to be patient to the end. Matthew 10:22 says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he left. "But he that endures to the end shall be saved." I want to take that phrase, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Or, you know, shall, you know, you can use another word. You can use another word for have victory, or you might live, or whatever it is. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, whatever you're doing in life, whatever kind of occupation you're in right now, whatever project you might be doing, the Lord says you can be weary. If God tells you don't be weary, and then it must be that you can be weary, and that your potential to be weary or to be tired out. He says in there, "For in due season," or somewhere along the line, "we shall reap if we faint not." Somebody said this, "If you quit, it's like you never started. But if you continue, you will reap whatever it is that you're doing. It's going to pay off." In other words, it's a payoff at the end. The idea of this message tonight is that sometimes you'll just might have to wait a little bit longer to get what you want. Sometimes you might have to wait just a little bit longer in order for you to get what you want. And there are times in my life, in my own personal life, that I had to wait longer, that I had to endure things, that I put up with things, put up with people, put up with my own life, put up with myself, put up with situations. I just had to do it because I know it's not going to be the same. You know, you're not going to always be the same. As much as you think you'll be the same, you're going to change. Everybody's getting older. I didn't always look like this. In fact, there's days I look worse than this. But there's days, you know, you get those days when you think, man, I'm doing real good. And something happens and you fall, you discover that you're not as spiritual as you are. You know, it's easy to be spiritual all alone. But when you have to work with people you don't like, or they rub you the wrong way, you know, you kind of reconsider that thought. Right? So I think about those times, you know, when I think I was doing well. So the Bible says that it's by faith that we receive the promises of God. Over here in the scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 33, the New Living Translation says, by faith these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. So, you know, it took faith for them to receive what God promises. It's going to take some faith for you, or your trust in God, or your reliance on God, your dependence on God. It's going to take some time for you to see the promise fulfilled in your life. I found a couple of scriptures that says, not one of God's promises ever fails. It talks about Joshua. At the end of his life, he says, every promise that God had told us never failed. If you Google that, or if you look in your Bible, if your Bible app, you'll find out that not one of God's promises failed. You'll come up with scriptures. It'll tell you that God's promises will not fail. And sometimes you might have to wait a little bit longer. Some of the promises of God depends on other people around you. Because God waits for some people. Sometimes it takes longer. Especially if you're married. If you guys consider getting married someday, remember this, that, you know, God has to wait for your mate to make some decisions. Right? It takes some time. I know that, Pastor Ken, it takes time to come together. Right, honey? It takes time sometimes. I had to wait for you for a long time. Right, Viola? You're laughing right now. But it takes time to wait for Ernie. Get up in the morning. And get to the mall by 3:30. It takes time for the chicken to cook. Right, boys? So in our world, you ever notice that patience is a little bit devalued? We have a lot of things that everything's fast and quick. I want it right now. I know when I go to the drive-thru, my wife says, or when we come up to a stop sign and someone is taking their time, they don't know where to turn left or right. Or if they're turning right, they're not turning when they should be. When cars are a mile away, they're still not turning. So I'm talking to myself, my wife's watching me, and I'm complaining. And she says to me, do you have to do this? I said, do what? And complain about the driver in front of you. Somebody said, you know, what is that thing about the guy? Says, you know, do you ever notice that when you're driving, that people who drive faster than you, they're maniacs. If they're driving slower, they're what? Idiots. But, you know, it's funny, we're like that. You know, we want everything to move faster. We want the traffic to flow nicely so you can get to somewhere on time. Well, you should have got up earlier. So anyway, patience is a virtue that the world devalues today. We have been taught to have things much quickly in this life. When we're walking by faith, it requires patience. in order to obtain the promises of God. Patience is very important in this life of faith. It says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, the New Living Translation says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. You know, if you know what God's will is for your life, and if you're trying to follow the will of God for your life, if you become impatient, you try to speed things up and hurry the things, whatever promises God has for you. So you make decisions, so you try to hurry it up to help God out. And you get into trouble. So, you know, you have to be patient. You have to trust God. You have to rely on Him and trust that He's going to fulfill His promise. You know that someday you'll get married. But you just don't marry anybody. Right? So it takes time. It takes time to... How many years you guys been married now? 30, you're 29 right now. You're trying to see what I'm telling you? Try to speed it up a little bit. I'm just kidding. This is the first couple I married. After I got my, license a couple days before they said, you got to, you know, even then he was speeding it up. Come on, Pastor, get that paperwork. But you're still together. Congratulations, guys. Amen. Then it says, then you will receive all that He has promised when we're patient. And what does being patient mean? Or, you know, when you're patient. One meaning of patience means endurance. It means that you can stand or stay right where you are no matter what happens. You're going to stand right there because you know. You're not going to change your mind about it. You know this is going to happen. You understand this. What's happening in your life now is not always going to be what it's like right now. You're not going to always be where you're at. Things are going to change. Right? Things are going to change. And we want to speed everything up. And there's a reason why you're at a certain level, at a certain stage in life. Because maybe if you bolted ahead, you wouldn't be able to handle more money or handle more success. Some people, if they have success, they go down because their character or whatever hasn't been built up yet. It takes time to develop. Because sometimes you'll be thinking, if I just had that car, maybe if you had that car, you might crash it. I don't know why I keep looking at you, but you look friendly enough so I can look to you. Okay, so having patience means that you'll stand unwaveringly, without weakening, but moving ahead at a steady pace. So having patience means you will stand unwaveringly, that's without a doubt, without weakening. You're not going to get weaker, you're just going to stay the same, you're going to endure, you're going to move ahead at a steady pace. And you know you're on the right track. You know, it's wonderful to know that you're on the right track. Because when you're on the right, when you're walking with God in His will, then you're not going to try to disturb what you have to make it go quicker. So patience means that you're gonna be able to abide under pressure. Because when you're patient, the devil's going to come and push you to make a change. But if you're patient and you know you're with God, then you're not going to be able to. The devil's not going to pressure you. That's why it says, count it all joy, brothers, when you come up to diverse temptations and trials. The word temptations is the word pressure in the Greek. Count it all joy, my brother, when you come up under diverse temptations. The word temptations in that verse of Christopher, one of the words, meaning of it is perosmos in the Greek, which means to put pressure on you so that you're going to change your mind. And you're going to jump ahead and make a change. But when you know you're standing on God's word, you're not going to change it. You're going to continue to go on and never mind the situation that is changing all around you, but you're going to stay the same with God all the time. That's pretty good teaching. We can go home right now and say, praise God, I learned something. Patient means that you're going to be persistent and are able to persevere no matter what happens in your life. You know, I've talked to different mentors. I've had different mentors. It's important for you to have a mentor. A mentor is somebody who you can talk to, somebody who you respect and sit down. And very often than not, most people don't have a mentor, but they have videotapes and books and things online where they go to and they can look at that. And you don't have to have a mentor that's face-to-face with you all the time. You can be mentored by Joyce Meyer if you're a woman, or you could be a man too, I guess. You know, if you follow somebody like that or somebody you respect and read their material, you become like who you read after. You know, I like Brother Hagin, and I've learned a lot from him, you know, to love people, to be patient with people. And I wish I could be more patient, but, you know, I'm learning. You know, I didn't become this great all in one day. It took me a while to become this wonderful and lovely. You know, you can tell I love myself, right? Really, really does. And I'm really humble too. So in C, being patient means the quality of not surrendering to circumstances, because circumstances will come. Being patient means the quality of not surrendering to circumstances. I'm talking about negative things that's going on that want to make you change your mind about things. You know, I think about different things. You know, I told myself, self, listen, you know, talking to me, you know. So it's like, I remember thinking about school. I said, okay, if I go to school, I'll be this old when I finish this. I don't want to be that old when I finish this. You know, I'm thinking about this now. I'm still thinking about school. They said, you know what, Roma, no matter what, you'll be that old anyway in 4 years. So go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. So it's not going to make a difference. You're going to be in 4 years. How old are you going to be? And no matter what happens, you're still going to be the same age. So time is going to come. And, you know, you can look at your own life and you look at things like, you know, I should have had a nice savings account when I was 16 years old. I should have had, you know, different things. I could have put away money. I could have been a millionaire by the time I was 30. If I got to put some money away, right? You can put money away. If you can put money away. So let's go to D. Because so we had A, patience means to be able to bite under pressure. B, it means to be persistent and to be able to persevere. C, it means the quality of not surrendering to circumstances. And D, it means the quality of not to succumb to under any kind of trial. Don't let trials beat you and quit. Anybody can quit. You can quit anytime, anything, anytime. Just go ahead and quit. But it takes time. It takes some kind of a person who thinks and stops and says, you know what? I'm not going to quit. This is good for me. I'm going to continue on. So what happens, you know, here's something that we look at all the time. Go to Mark 11, 23 to verse 26. Let's go look at Mark chapter 11, verse 23-26. And I want to read the King James Bible. I want to show you something here that's very critical in your life, because when you believe in God and you pray for something, if you have a prayer project and you're praying for something, you start believing God, you get a promise of God, you find that promise of God, maybe you write it down or circle it around in your Bible, and you look at it regularly, and you look at it, and you read it, maybe write it down, and you try to memorize the scripture, and you begin to think about it, and then you pray about it and ask God, whatever it is. You said, Lord, I'm believing God for this promise. You said it in your word, and I'm receiving that by faith right now. And so, Lord, I'm accepting it right now, that what I'm asking you is according to your word. It's your will. So I receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. You say, woo, thank you, Lord. But then circumstances change and tells you that you can't have that. Things, your life changes. But you prayed that prayer. Now the trial that you're experiencing is going to tell you to deter and to quit and not, you know, believe for that promise. But you did pray for, that prayer. There's a lot of people, perhaps even in this room right now, who prayed a lot of prayers when they thought they were believing, or when they thought they were using faith, but they didn't use faith. Yes, they found the scripture. Yes, they prayed the prayer, but it wasn't faith yet. It was just mental assent, or just the fact that just, oh, I agree the Bible is true, and there it is, but it's not really faith yet. So it takes time. So when the trouble comes, they begin to change their mind about something. Go to Mark 11:23. We're talking about patience. We need patience. We need to endure to the end. We need to have what it takes to move to the end and where we got the promise of God in our lives. This is not a joy service right now, at this moment, as you can tell. But we're going to get there and practice a little bit. Did you find Mark 11:23? Okay, it says, "For verily I say to you," Jesus talking to his disciples, "that whosoever, and we qualify because we're a whosoever, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," he didn't say that if a Christian does it. I found that people who are not Christians are actually doing this. Brother Hagin talked about a lawyer who was not a born-again believer. He believed God. The doctor told him, "You're going to die in 30 to 90 days if you don't have this operation." And so somehow his mom convinced him to go to Rhema. He sat under Brother Hagin for a healing school. And he heard Brother Hagin talk about this verse of Scripture. He said, "Oh, I can believe that. I can believe that." So he began to believe that he received his healing. And he's not a believer. Did you ever notice that people in the four Gospels that got healed, they weren't born again Christians? How many people know that? They were not saved, but they believed. And so they, by faith, was able to believe. The woman with issue of blood, she was not born again. The 10 lepers were not saved. Huh? The centurion's son wasn't born again, neither was the centurion. And he believed God. So we see businessmen who take this and they believe something. The other day I was watching on Netflix a documentary. I went to documentaries. And I watched a man who had a concept of building this idea about a record company or a music industry. He had this in mind. So he learned all his techniques about becoming a pioneer in music, a producer. And he learned his techniques working in a assembly line in the Ford Motor Company in Detroit. He's seen all the specialties of how they build this machine or this car and the different departments, how it works. So he had a concept. This is how I'm going to build this record company. I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I'm going to have that. And he built what they called Motown. I don't know if anybody, no one got excited, but anyway. I said they'd be jumping upside down, grabbing the chairs, biting the back of the chair. But everybody's excited about that. But anyway, so he made this industry, and he believed he could do this. So if you can have a concept, there's people who are not born again Christians, they're not people who go to church, but they have a concept, like a business concept, and they begin to see this thing in their mind and they conceptualize it, and they begin to believe this. You know, you believe, a man can believe a lot of things. Sometimes not so much good things. "So verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed." You got to talk against the thing that you're facing. You're going to tell it, you know, you're not going to stay there very long. There's a guy that we know that at Rhema, he was in prison. He was serving three life sentences for murder and different things. He's serving. He's in prison. And he got born again in prison. And he's there in prison. And he went to this Bible study, and Kenneth Hagin Ministries came in there, and he found this book, and he learned about Mark 11, 23, 24. And what he did, he began to confess this. He said, "You know, I'm going to get out of here." He said, "You can't get out of here. You're serving three life sentences. That's 60 years. You'll never get out of here." And he said, "Every day I walk by on the court, and I point at that door." He says, "I'm going to walk out of this place. I'm going to walk out of you." He said he would say that. And one day he said, I'm going to speed up the story a little bit. Speed it up just a little bit. And so he came to this place. They asked, they said to him, "We want to talk to you. We have received a forgiveness pardon for you." "What?" "They're going to be releasing you from jail, so you're going to have to get ready for your exit." And he's out today. He's a full-time minister. He travels around. He's got a plane. He travels everywhere teaching people about the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And there's things that I've done. I pointed at different things, institutions, that says, "This is going to happen. This is going to happen." In fact, I walked around here. I lived over here for a number of years. There was XXX video places over here. There was one actually down my street. And I was, looking over there. So I said, "I curse this thing in the name of Jesus. You will not be here." And within that year, it was gone. "So I don't want to come by your house." You tell this thing, they're going to be there anymore. So you shall have what you say. So here, you speak to this mountain. You got to speak to it, not talk about it, how big it is, but speak to it that it's going to be removed. He says, "And shall be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things what he said." In other words, you have to believe what you say shall come to pass. "He shall have whatsoever he said." Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe." Believe what? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. In other words, you have to understand about faith before you learn how to pray. Before you pray, utter a word. That's why I'm saying there's people here who have uttered, they've prayed, but they've never prayed in faith. They thought they prayed in faith. So when something's happening in your life, you're praying, you're believing God for something, and you pray a prayer, and sometimes you're praying something that, maybe you're praying too early, because you didn't believe yet. There's people like that. They prayed for different things. It didn't pan out the way they thought it would be. So let's just stop right there for a second. I'm not going to go to verse 26. So often people pray for something, and when things don't change almost immediately, they give up. Remember what our text said? He that endures to the end. He that endures to the end. Sometimes you're going to have, when the time you pray, the Bible says, believe when you pray. When you pray, the moment you're praying, believe, you receive. That means if you're praying, at the moment you're praying for healing, at the moment you're praying for the money, the moment you're praying for different things, you're going to have to believe that you receive. That's the moment. But if I ask you, "Did you receive?" You say, "Well, I hope so." Then you didn't pray the prayer of faith. You have to believe you receive. That's what Jesus said. You know how many thousands of people are disappointed because this didn't work? It wasn't because the Bible didn't work. It was because they didn't work the Bible. It says, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, or the moment you pray, what do? You believe, you receive." In other words, you've got to believe that you receive something when you don't have it yet. That's what believing is about. You don't have it, but you're believing it. Where you believe you receive. Where you believe? Where did you receive it? Well, in my heart. I believe I receive in my heart. You don't look to your body for a confirmation. You don't ask the doctor for confirmation because he'll give you more medication. You have to believe right now. Still take the medications, of course, and still do whatever because you might die before actually the process happens in your body. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so you have to still believe. So I remember when I was in school, I was going to go to school, my fourth year of university. I hadn't applied. Most of all my friends applied 6 months before they graduated, but I didn't. And I don't know why I didn't. And I was going to church over here at our church. And everybody was saying, oh, most people that applied for schools applied to at least three schools because you have to apply at least three. So in case you didn't get this one, you didn't get the other one. Go to a different school. So I said, no, I'm going to apply to one school. I'm going over here. I'm going to University of Manitoba. And it's a big competition to get in certain programs, right? I said, I'm going there. So I applied a little bit later. And I told people, I'm going to this school. That's where I'm going. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I applied for some money. And the Ontario government handed me a check. It was 1998. They sent me down there and said, we're going to give you $10,000, but you have to come back and work for the Ontario government. So they gave me 10 grand, plus I had money to go to school. You know, my wife and I went to school. But I was able to get in and plus have money because I believe in God. And every time I came to church, I had my little offering. I'm in school. I didn't have very much money in school. And I brought whatever I had every week. I'd bring my $5 offering. Don't laugh at your $5 offering, people. Don't ever laugh at your seed. That seed's going to grow. God will honor that seed. Brought that seed in and say, thank you, Lord. You know, I thank you for all your promises. I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to have enough money, and so on and so forth. I began to trust God. Took my tithe and gave. They would laugh at me all the time. But you know who gets the last laugh? God, and you get the last laugh. He said, you're not going to do that, are you? You're not going to have that. Oh, yes, you're going to have it. You shut up about that. And if you're afraid of the devil, you can't stand up to him. You know? I know religion taught me to be really afraid of the devil. And when I got born again, I started talking back to the devil. Somebody said, you know, the devil loves to be respected. As far as, you know, you're afraid of him. But you got to stand strong against the enemy. And when he puts pressure on you to quit, don't cower down. Stand on the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. How many of you are afraid of the devil? You say, I'm not afraid of the devil. Then when he shows up at night, let's call Brother Roma. I remember a pastor who came by here one time. I was preaching over there on Court Street. And he went home back to his reservation. He said, I met a man in Thunder Bay, a native man. He ain't afraid of the devil. I've never heard any other pastor talk about the devil, refer to him just like he did. And then he died. I don't know why he died. He died later on, but maybe he shouldn't have been afraid of the devil. Amen? Is this helping somebody? Two people. Well, at least they talk to two people. We've got to close up. It's 8 minutes after, 7 minutes after eight. How come you guys listen so well? We'll come back to this, but you need to endure the pressure. Endure the time. Come on, let's go ahead and close this stand up. Father, we want to thank you tonight in the name of Jesus, that he that endures to the end. So we need to know that we are enduring. We need to know that we have to put up with some pressure. And we're going to be the kind of people that's going to stand strong and see the victory. Thank you, Lord. Everybody bow your heads. Father, we want to praise you. Lift your voice up to God. Lift your heart up to God and say, Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus that your promises are true, that you're a faithful God, you're a good God, you're a wonderful Father. And tonight, we yield to you. We submit our lives to you. We resubmit our lives to you. We consecrate and dedicate our lives to you. We submit to your word and to your spirit. And so whatever plans you have for me, that I know that you have a good plan. You said in your word that I know I have the plans I have for you are great plans and wonderful plans. Plans for good and not for evil. And I thank you that you said that there's an abundant life for each one of us. And that you've built a good thing for us that is waiting for us. That tomorrow is going to be a better day. Even if troubles come, we're getting closer and closer to our goals. Whatever it is, they're going to come to fruition. And we're not going to let any kind of trouble and trial or any kind of circumstances change our direction or change our ways. We're going to endure like a good soldier and stand on your word, even when we suffer through some things. And we're not going to be impatient. We're going to stand strong in the tough times. We thank you that as we dedicate our life, Father, this is your life, Lord God. This is my life. My life is your life. And you can express your will in my life through my mind and through my mouth and through my behavior. We thank you in the name of Jesus for that which we're believing for, that you're concerned about everything I'm concerned about. So we cast every care, every worry, every anxiety, every hurt to you, every pain to you, that you're going to take this over. And anybody that's struggling with any kind of turmoil in their lives, that this is not the end. This will not be the end. This is not your future. Yes, you might be going through a tough time, but it's not the end. The end is a great plan. So stand strong. Stand strong in the Word. Be hard on the devil. Stand on the Word of God. Begin to confess over to yourself. Prophesy over your own life. Tell yourself what the end is according to the Word of God. Do not be afraid. Do not turn to the right hand or the left hand. But stay on the plane. Stay on the right path of the Word of God. You're going to see changes will come. Sometimes faster. Sometimes even slower. But be patient to the end and you'll begin to see that the Word of God is really, really true, and that God's Word is faithful. He will go to the end, and you'll be happy. And you'll see again the next time when trouble comes, you'll say, I've gone through this time and time again. And you'll tell your friend, I've gone through this, but I know how to do this on my own again because I've been taught the Word of God, and I know how to stand strong, and I'm going to see this through. And you'll see it just like we said last time. He'll do it again. He'll do it again and again and again. As the Bible says, when Israel was in captivity, the Bible says he did it again. He turned their captivity again. And they were laughing just like it was like a dream. It wasn't like it was even true, but it was true, but it was like a dream to them. So thank you, Lord, for it shall come to pass as we follow your word. It shall be thus and so, even according to your word. We give you praise. Give God praise by faith right now and thank Him. Father, we praise you. We thank you in the name of Jesus that your word is true, that your word does not lie, that we can stand on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're watching online or in this service tonight, if you've never been born again, you can come to Jesus by now, right now, wherever you are. Just like I was a number of years ago, I was 24 years old, when they said, on television, you can come to Jesus tonight by faith. You can be saved right now. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off. Now is the day of salvation. If you're in this room right now, you can say right in your chair, say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that I can be born again and be saved and miss hell and go to heaven. And I'll serve you for the rest of my life. If you say that right now, wherever you are sitting right now, wherever you are at home, you are born again. The Bible says that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you are saved right now, right this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.